All right. Hey, I see the little light on the thing, on the receiver up there. I think this is the first time I've ever noticed that. And now it's going to bug me because I'm going to notice it. And I'm going to see it every time I talk. It's going to blink. All right. All right. We're still in Proverbs chapter 3. And again, as I thought about doing a review for this, I thought about ending chapter 3 there at the verses that we did last week. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father and the Son whom he delighteth. But I just couldn't, because there's more to the chapter. And it seems like, for the book of Proverbs, the first three chapters, or four chapters or so, set the tone for the rest of the book. Okay? It's interesting. We read the Gospels, and I tell you, for many years, I was taught, when I first got saved, context, weren't you? I mean, this is the key to everything, context. Whatever you read, it's the context in which the verse or whatever that you're looking at comes in. And yet, for so many years, it seems like I've sat under teaching and preaching that was more topical. And so out of an entire chapter book, you know, of a letter, they would take one scripture out. Forget the one before, forget the one behind, and just teach that one scripture. They were not necessarily taking it out of context, but they were using it to back up whatever topical argument that they had. Okay? And it seems to me that a lot of people, when they teach, just as an aside, is that they're trying to bolster an argument. Okay? Personal opinion. It just seems like they have an agenda. I hate to use that word. They have an agenda. They have an idea. They have a soapbox they like to get on. And so all the verses that they use were to bolster that argument, that discussion. You guys been under preaching like that or teaching like that over the years? I have. And sometimes you get tired of it because we're supposed to learn something, not just back up your opinion. Okay? So I like about Pastor when he comes up and he tells us something, this is my opinion. This is me and me alone. So this is what the Bible teaches, and based on that, this is what I think. This is how I think. This is how I arrive at that. Okay? And it's very important for us to really understand the why and the reason why we think stuff. Okay? And it seriously is, because the last of this chapter actually gives us New Testament doctrine. Okay? How we treat other people. How we are to behave toward other people. How that we are to love. Jesus says, love others as yourself. That's the second one, the commandment of the law. To love others, you know, love the Lord your God is number one. Love others as yourself. And the problem is, we think that's all New Testament. It is not. It's Old Testament. You know, we sang that song, and I chose the song on purpose. Tell me the old story. It doesn't go back to when Jesus was born. It goes much further than that. Because remember, he was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before anything else was ever created, before Lucifer was even created. Jesus was set up to die for sins. Okay, man's sin. Not an angel's sin, because an angel is an entirely different person. Okay, man was created to have a relationship with God. Okay? That's what the Bible tells us. That's what the Bible teaches us. All throughout history, a relationship with God. Remember, God's habit in the Garden of Eden was to come in the cool of the day and walk with Adam and Eve, talk with them. What a lovely thing. I don't know about you, that's just a lovely thing. That's just a beautiful thing that God would come and talk with us, want to talk with us. And then we sinned and ruined it. God's still looking for that time when he can come and talk with us. It's called prayer. It's called communion with God, prayer. That discussion that we have with God, that talking with him. Well, what do we got to talk with God about? Well, right now there's a whole lot of things, isn't it? Our fears, our anxieties, our worries. Lord, and then just glorify his name. God, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for this that you put me through that I can learn. Okay. Last Sunday night, my testimony was going to be that I'm thanking God for what he's put me through so that I learn not to be so self-absorbed. Self-absorbed in a way that I don't need anybody else. to help me. I don't need anybody else, period. And then, like I said last week, God gave me a helpmeet, a help that's fit for me, that's right for me. Okay? I'm not to denigrate her or put her low. Many Baptist guys I've met, hey, this is my wife, right there. She only does what I say when I tell her to. Okay? My wife doesn't have to call me for everything. You know, if she makes a decision, can't you deal that with on yourself? Sorry. It's like there's some things, you know, there are some things that we make have to make a decision together. Okay? But other things. Well, she will call me. Well, what do you want for lunches this week? I don't know. Pastrami sandwiches? I don't know. That sounds good, you know. But there's other things that in the running of the house, she doesn't have to ask. And you know why? I trust her. Read the Proverbs 31 woman. She actually makes a lot of decisions and stuff without the husband's input. Ooh, it's like, no, we can't say that. Yes, we can, because it's Bible. God expects us to make decisions, a lot of decisions, based on the fact that we have stuff already settled. Okay? And if we have extra special decisions to make, seek Him. Always seek Him. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, when we get up, when we do things, how we interact with people, we shouldn't have to ask God, how should we do this? If there's extra people, it's like, God, how do I deal with this person? This person, Father, I have not a clue. I have lost my patience, and help me with that. Okay? But otherwise, we know, you know, be kind one to another. Okay? Even your enemies, be kind to them, and it's like heaping coals upon their head. Most people say, yeah, I want to hurt them, so I'm going to heap coals upon their head, so I'm going to be nice to them. Just to heap coals on their head? No, God says be kind to them, period. To love them as you love yourself. No, that's not what the verse means. Yeah, lost and saved people, love them as you love yourself. But we see that in the book of Proverbs, the rest of this chapter, it is designed for us on how to live, how we deal with other people, how we interact with other people. Spouses, children are included in this, not specifically by name, but in the way we act, the way we behave. So, we'll continue. Sorry, I'm on the wrong page here. We left off on verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Has the Lord corrected you any time this week? I just want to ask that question. Yeah, he corrected me a couple times, so... Do I need it? Yeah, I need it. Any of you say that I don't need it, well, you're kind of saying that I have no sin. But it's one of those things that's like, you know, how can you read verses like that and then not expect it? Not expect correction. Not because I said it, but it's because God said it. You know, I love you. I'm going to correct you. Happy is the man, verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. The term findeth and the term getteth are terms that we often, I think, misunderstand or maybe even misapply. Some of us on purpose, because that's the way man is, and some of us accidentally. The word findeth, we often think that that when we find something, it's like walking down the street and there it is on the ground, that we're going to come across it accidentally. There was a guy I worked with. We were coming into work one day. I walked the path, walked into the door. He was right behind me, 5 feet. Hey, Fred, did you drop this? $20 bill. No. Well, then it's mine. I was just right there, and it's like he saw it. He found it. This guy, his name was Manuel. He was a hired laborer who worked full-time for us. He found stuff all the time. Okay, accidentally, maybe, but a lot of times he was looking for stuff. Okay, looking for things. You know, I'd see him, we'd go out and dig a ditch together, and he would pull out a shovelful, and then he'd look back, and you know, he would be looking through the shovelfuls of stuff. One time, he found a box digging a ditch, 4 Spanish doubloons in it, gold coins. Worth $5,000 a piece. This was way back in the early 80s. He got to keep that box. He bought a house with it, moved his family up from Mexico. Well, how come I couldn't be digging that? Well, he's actually really seriously looking for stuff like that. Looking for it all the time. We think that we should just be walking along and see it. Oh my goodness, there it is. Normally when I see something on the ground, it's just a piece of tinfoil, isn't it? Bubblegum wrapper, it's like, or gum wrapper, it's like, that's trash. Yeah, and I throw it away most of the time, not take it to the actual trash and throw it away, but it's like we often think that that's what the term findeth meaneth. That's my best English. But the term findeth means that you're actually looking for it. Went to a gun show yesterday. I admit it. The evil, wicked guns. Looked at a bunch of black guns. There is no such thing as an assault rifle. That's a made-up term. But anyway, we went to the show together. We discussed for like a whole day before. If we went, what are we looking for? Because otherwise you're going to find stuff that you spend money on. You're going to find stuff. You know what we wound up finding and buying? The guy that sells the roasted peanuts and pecans, or almonds and pecans. He takes it, he puts some coating on it, heats it up. Oh, man, they are good. The pecans are nice and soft. The almonds got a little crunch to it. It's like, we like the almonds better. But we found it because we were looking for them. It's amazing. But we were looking for stuff on the tables. Didn't find anything that we couldn't live without, but we were looking for things. We were looking in a place where it was appropriate for us to find those things. If we're looking for spiritual stuff, we're not going to find it in a bar. Really? Yeah, you're not going to find it in a bar. You're not going to find it in a casino. Isn't that amazing how that works? Where are you going to find spiritual stuff? Church. It doesn't happen accidentally. You know, you just can't turn on the radio and flip the dial and, oh, I landed on a spiritual station. No. There's few of them out there anymore, by the way. You have to go looking for it. Then sometimes I listen, oh, does that sound, oh, I heard God in there, but this guy's a heretic. This guy's a nut. And so you flip it. You turn it. It depends. The word findeth means that you are looking for it. Prospectors, they find gold, and we say, oh, he's so lucky he found gold, and he was looking for it. How do you know? Because there's certain topography in the geography of the land that you can say, well, this, and it's going to be here. Or there's a better chance of it being here than anywhere else. And so, you know, that's what these guys do. They go looking for it, and son of a gun, they find it. How many people go to the store hoping to find a good deal? She knows where to look. What was it? Walmart has a section where they got meats that are got that yellow sticker on it, which means they're approaching their expiration date. But, man, you find some good deals. And if you cook it that night, but she goes looking for it. You're only going to find things when you go look for it. Okay? On a regular basis. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. When I find stuff that I'm looking for, I am very happy. Okay? You know, all of us, when we found the car that we're looking for, I'm happy. When you find the house you're looking for, I'm happy. When you find the stuff you're looking for, yeah, you get happy. That's it. Happy is the man. Happy is the man that find wisdom. If you're looking for the wisdom of God, you're going to find it. And you ought to be happy about it. Okay? You ought to be happy about it. You know, we come to church and we think, man, I'm going to find something today because I'm looking for it. But generally, a lot of people come to church, well, I hope the pastor has something for me. Oh, no, Brother Fred is doing his Sunday school. I'm not going to find anything there. And so they don't come. Or we have special preachers and they don't come. Because people think, I'm not going to find it. Okay? Or when they do come, all they got is criticism. How many people you know come to and they just find criticism, don't they? Anybody ever teach a lesson, by the way? And people just criticize you about it. Well, what were you looking for? You're not getting it from me. Even Paul said, you're not going to get it from me. You're going to get it from God. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. If you're looking for something here, it's not going to be through me or a pastor. It's going to be through the words which we read, the Bible that we read, the Scripture, the Spirit of God that testifies these things if you're listening, and the fact that God provides it for you. If any man lacketh wisdom, James tells us, let him ask of God, and God will give liberally. God will give without restraint, is what that means. And it's like, wow. But you know, he gives it through your reading of the Bible, your study of the Bible, Sunday school, and the preaching of God's Word. And it's like, wow. And if we come to church without that idea, we miss it. We just plain old miss it. It's like me walking on that path, missing that $20 bill, and he just found it right behind me. It's like, well, how come? Well, because my mind was somewhere else. My mind was on the work. My mind was on the job. My mind was on that. Not looking on the ground to see if I can see if there's money on the ground. I find myself in parking lots looking for a lotto ticket. This is it, God. This one. I find this one. Is this a winner? I haven't found a lotto ticket on the parking lot anyway. So I haven't been a winner. So there you go. But it's one of those things. If you're not looking for God's wisdom, you're not going to find it. And yet we honestly think that it happens accidentally. He who findeth it, oh, I just got to wait and see. I don't see it. You ever had your kids look for something in their bedroom? Where are they looking when you go in? I'm not finding this. And they're up staring at the ceiling. Well, it's right over here. Look, you didn't find it because you weren't looking in the right spot. Okay, I was like that. My kids were like that. If your kids were like that, that's fine. Okay. But happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. The getting or the obtaining of things means that you're looking to find it. And then once you find it, you reach out and take it. Okay? I've never seen a guy, when they used to pass out checks at work, I've never seen a guy refuse a check. Here's your check. Ooh, thank you. Thanks, boss. Wait a minute. You took out more taxes than I wanted you to take. That's what happens when you get successful and you get a raise. It's like, well, now I'm in the next tax bracket. Oh. I remember the first time that happened to me. I got a raise, and I'm looking for, you're looking forward to that raise being on your paycheck. And I'm, wait a minute, they took out $20 less this week than they did last week. And I look back, I went up, asked the bookkeeper, she says, yeah, you moved into the next higher tax bracket, so you got taxed more. Yeah. I made more money. I brought home more money working 32 to 35 hours than I could have 40. It's like, because that last 6 hours was like, government's taking it. Like, that was disappointing. But anyway, when he finds it, he goes out and gets it. Okay? When you guys find a good deal, you go out and get it, don't you? And then you brag on it. I found a good deal, and I went out and got it. I don't know how many times we talk about things, it's like, man, we should have bought that when it was X amount of dollars and it was a lot cheaper than it was. We should have bought it back then. We should have done this back then because it's cheaper than it is going to look for it today. It's like, wow. When you find it, strive to obtain it. And that's what he's saying here. Wisdom, when you go out looking for it, searching in the right spot, keeping your eyes peeled for the wisdom of God, and you find it, obtain it. Take it, put it next to your heart. I was careful. I didn't do that. It went like that. Put it next to your heart. Embrace it as the wisdom that comes from God. This is from God. It is a gift that I will not waste, that I will not take and abuse. Okay? Well, how can you abuse the thing of God? Well, people abuse the Word of God all the time. They take it to use it as a weapon of hurt and discouragement and dismay. Oh, I'm just trying to encourage. No, you're not. You're using the words to hurt others. You're using the words to damage others. to inflict guilt and shame on people. No. Even when we witness to the lost and we tell them about sin and their sin and stuff like that, we can do it one of two ways. To inflict the guilt and shame, or to show the guilt and shame through the love of God. There's a difference, big difference. How do you know that? People who walk away, sometimes they don't curse your name. They don't. Some people are going to do that anyway, but, you know, it's a difference in how it is perceived and reacted to. Go out and get it. You get understanding, obtain it, and keep it. I'm one of those, I'm a keeper. I get stuff and I keep it. My wife goes out in the garage, "Well, you don't use that anymore. Why don't you get rid of it?" "Honey, it's mine." "I can't get rid of it." "I got stuff. I may need that." "Well, you haven't used it in 20 years. "Shh, that's beside the point." I was like, "Babe, don't be negative." It's like, no, she says, no. Anyway, yeah. So I'm going through, I'm looking at some old stuff, and it's like, yeah, I got to get rid of this. Yeah. But wisdom, the precious stuff. Do we consider the wisdom of God a precious thing? A precious commodity, a precious item? Because the next verses say, "The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof from gold." So, it does carry over into the idea of what we think is precious. Is it a precious thing for us to obtain and to use for God's glory? It says the merchandise. The merchandise is those things that are for sale. You can go out and get more stuff with the wisdom of God. Obtain the merchandise of it. "Oh, I'm going to be blessed with God and get a lot of money." No, you miss it. Because it says that the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver and gain, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now, you stop and think about that in meditating God. What can you buy with gold and silver? Oh, you can buy a lot of stuff. You can buy tons of stuff. There is one thing you cannot buy. It's an axiom that's as old as the Word of God itself. You cannot buy happiness. You cannot buy me. You cannot buy love. Money does not buy you love. It does not buy you emotional security. As a matter of fact, money, if anything, gets you less secure. Because when you have money, you're always worried that somebody's going to take it. The things that you can buy with silver and gold. Did you know that when you die, you don't take it with you? Wherever your spirit winds up, heaven or hell, it's not going to be there. The mummies. Thousands of years ago, these guys got themselves dressed up in special, you know, linens and clothes. They were wrapped. They got all their innards taken out and put in special jars. They call them Coptic jars. They were decorated with gold and stuff, and they were put on a shelf over there. He was buried over there in the sarcophagus and stuff like that. Did you know within 100 years that half of these guys were, all their stuff was taken? It didn't go anywhere with them, did it? It's like, wow. Now, other cultures say, "I know you're not going to take it with you, but we're going to buy this fake money." Some of the Oriental cultures. Here's this fake money that we're going to give for the dead because it's a fake. We don't give real money because they can't use it. They can't use it in the afterlife. Wow. Oxymoron there. But the Egyptian guys, I mean, and then King Tut come along, and they saw all this gold. They saw all this thing. You know, some rulers even killed their servants so that way the servants would be there. Well, their bodies are still there, rotting. In this grand and glorious tomb. All the stuff that they owned now belongs to somebody else. All the stuff that they had now opens them to ridicule from other people. It's like, man, wait a minute. He buried his donkey with him? What a goofball. It's like, well, sorry. If you think, I was just like, yeah. He thought he would actually be able to use it. Nope. In the New Testament, we're told about Lazarus and the rich guy. Lazarus was full of sores. The dogs licked his sores. That was the only medical attention he got. The rich guy just sweep up the crumbs, throw it out, and maybe the poor people would eat it. Okay? It's pretty sad, huh? Well, the rich guy died, and so did Lazarus, the poor guy, the poor beggar. The rich man, it says, in hell, in a place of torment, in a place where, you ever burn yourself? I mean, yeah, I got some serious burns. Man, that hurts. That hurts for a long time. And it hurts, you know, not only where the burn is, but your entire body seems to feel it. Okay? Imagine that fire throughout the entire body. Okay. And in hell, it says he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he saw across the great gulf, Abraham and Lazarus. I wonder if he thought, we're told what he said, but I wonder if he thought, what is he doing there and me over here? But I think that went away that quick. And he said, gosh, my brothers are going to wind up here because they do not know the Lord. They have turned their back on God. They have turned their back and they're going to wind up. Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Too late. Too late. All that the rich man had did not get him into heaven. There's a certain sect of Christianity that if you light candles and pay the money, there's a good chance that you will buy your loved one out of purgatory. And he'd get to go into heaven, or they would get to go into heaven. I got in trouble. I went to visited a cemetery once, and there's this mausoleum, and then there was this, like this chapel, and went in just to take a look. I wasn't saved, I was lost. I said, it's kind of pretty in here. There's all these candles and stuff. And I'm lighting candles and blowing some out. And it's like, well, how could you be so... Hey, I was stupid. I was dumb. I was lost. The priest caught me. He got mad, started yelling at me, and chased me out. Come to find out, those candles that I blew out kept somebody from being saved. In his religion, in his mind, kept somebody from getting out of purgatory. And then all the candles I lit, not given for anything, did nothing. They were a waste of spirituality or something, I don't know. That's what they believe. That money will buy themselves into heaven. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians that believe that. My possessions guarantee me a place. There's an old song. Yeah, it's an old rock and roll song because it floats around in my head because it was before I was saved. Anyway, called Stairway to Heaven. There's a lady, we're told, who thinks that all that glitters is gold. She's buying a stairway to heaven. And when she gets there, she thinks that she can get what she came for. And the song goes on to the futility of that. It's like, you know, it is futile. Why do us as Christians, and I say us as Christians because it's the whole group, maybe not you individually, why do we believe that sometimes our wealth is a mirror of our spirituality, of our blessing from God? That somehow because we have obtained something that, yeah, I'm more blessed of God than that person. No. A lot of times it's the promise of God. If you work, you're going to get. If you sow, you're going to reap. That's a promise. Doesn't matter if you're lost or saved. If you sow, you're going to reap. And when we're told about the good steward and the bad stewards of God, the good stewards, they invest, they sow, and then they reap. Okay? The stuff that God talks about, we don't reap so much in this life. Yeah, we can reach so much in this life. But a majority of that is afterward. Is after we're dead and gone, this carcass is eaten by the worms, and we're at heaven with God. We are up there. We are singing in with the choir, with the angels. We're around the throne of God. Going, wow, this is great. This is better than I ever thought it was going to be. Even though if we read in Revelation there, we see the streets of gold. We see all this stuff in there. It's like, wow, I can't wait to see that stuff. That stuff's not going to mean a thing when we get there. Because our faith will have become sight. We will see Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we will bow, get on our face before him and say, glory, glory. O God Almighty, glory to God. We'll sing the song, a new song. I don't know what it is because it's a new song. We will sing those songs to God to give him glory along with the angels and everybody else that's in heaven. How long is that going to last? Forever. Isn't that great? We can't even sing the song here in on this place, you know. Even though it's glory to God, we can't sing it with a smile on our face. In heaven, it says there's going to be no tears or sadness. Boy, you go to a lot of Baptist churches, there are sadness when they sing songs. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to crack a smile. Unless we're afterward, I'm telling a joke to somebody that has nothing to do with God. It's like, it's like, wow. Here we are. We're coming here to worship God. At least that's what the purpose we're supposed to be coming here to worship God. That's part of wisdom. That we're going to find God here, not social interaction, even though social interaction is good for us. Iron sharpeneth iron. We can encourage each other. We can encourage one another. Ever so much more as we see that day approaching. That's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. As we see that day approaching. To come here and encourage one another. That we ourselves can be encouraged. And to do that, we have to allow ourselves to be encouraged. We have to see that this is wisdom from God. That God did not leave us here alone. To face life alone. But that he has brought us in church. In the congregation, even in the Old Testament, that congregation in the wilderness. So that we might be encouraged. That we can encourage one another. It is an interactive service that we have. Not that we interact with the pastor. He says something and we repeat it and we wave our hands. Oh. No, interactive with each other. Thank you, Lord, that I am here, that I can encourage others. And that they can encourage me. That's the wisdom. Are we finding it? And when we do find it, do we get it? Do we consider it a precious thing that we bring into our heart? That we bring into our... It's like, wow. That we take possession of. Manuel, who found the $20 and who found that money in the digging a ditch, he took it and he got it in possession. He took possession of it. This is mine. It is precious. I will do something with it. Like I said, with the $20,000, he bought a house. He bought an old apartment house that was being sold because it needed renovation. He put a down on it. And he brought his family up, and he started renovating it. Man, they all had a place to live. It's like, wow. It wasn't a big apartment house, and it was in the poorer sections of Santa Monica, which late 70s, it wasn't worth what it is now. Okay. A couple of years later that, you couldn't even buy, you know, a closet in Venice Beach, which was actually a rundown dump back then. The canals in there that they tried to make like Venice in Italy, the canals were mosquito-ridden. It was just nasty. And then they cleaned it up. And so now the people that bought those pieces of junk down there, they were worth two, three, four times what they invested in. But he did that. He said, this is precious. And what I'm going to do with it is I'm going to be wise with it, buy something, bring my family up. And he brought his mom-in-law, his dad-in-law, his mom and dad, his cousins, some aunts, some uncles. And they all worked and they all paid for it. Well, what a lucky guy. Okay, call it luck. You can call it whatever you want. It's a gift from God. That he took and he used wisely. That he took and he embraced it and made a better thing of it. How many times do we overlook that stuff here in church? And I say here in church because when you're at home in your prayer closet by yourself, you ought to find it there. If you don't find it there, you find it here. Nowhere else. Government's not going to give it to you. Your job is not going to give that to you. The job is just a means that God has given you. A means to what? A means to witness to others. A means to provide for your family. Yeah. That's what it is. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies. Verse 15, more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared with unto her. All the things on this earth, all the fishing equipment and boats and guns and stuff, yes, because that's one of my lusts, okay, are not to be compared with the things, the spiritual things that you can get with wisdom, that you can buy by investing in spiritual things. All of that stuff is considered nothing. Because there will be a time that it'll burn up. It'll be gone. And are you going to be like Lot's wife who says, oh man, look what I'm missing back there. My house, my refrigerator, my cars, all this stuff. Okay, they didn't have stuff like that back then, but they had equivalent stuff. All of my stuff, my belongings are back there. It's destroyed. So instead of running, she got caught up in the conflagration. She got caught up in it. It's like, wow. And she paid the penalty. Conjecture. I believe that not only was her physical life, she was turned into a pillar of salt. If you want to know what a pillar of salt is, look at the people of Pompeii who are caught up in a something blast from the volcano. And these are just pillars of salt right now, stone, full of salt. That's what she became. Yeah. That not only was her body, but because her soul, she did not long after the things of God, and therefore I don't believe she was saved. But she was caught up in the things of the world back there. And when it went up, her spirit died within her. My hope, my joy, my peace, my safety, my comfort, way back there, is gone. And she is now an empty person. She was always empty because she was looking at the wrong things. Lot did say that he had a righteous soul, so he was saved because it says that all the things done vexed his righteous soul. Why he didn't move out a lot sooner, I don't know. I moved out of L.A. because it was like, oh, this is terrible down here. He kept going. He says, well, the angel said, I believe God, I'm going to go. I don't need any of that stuff back there. My hope and peace is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's like, wow, we're going to go. I'm taking my kids too, by the way. I'm not going to leave them with her. But she is more precious than rubies. Do we consider the things of God more precious than rubies? Well, rubies really aren't that all precious. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I know people look at diamonds and they look at other stuff. Rubies back then was up there. Okay, it meant precious. Hard to find. Whatever it is you think is precious, the wisdom of God is more precious. Or at least it ought to be in our own sight, in our own estimation, in our own thinking. And we didn't get as far as I wanted to get today. Sorry about that. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared with her. What are the things you lust for that in this world? Oh, I wish for that. Oh, I wish for this. Oh, I wish for that. I tell people I've been married 44 years. I have had some people, oh, I wish I could have, I've been married 3 times and I wish I could have a relationship that long. Are you looking for one? It sounds smart alecky, but no, are you looking for it? I mean, every time I see you, you dating somebody who's different, and then you're going out with somebody who's different, and the people you're looking for are not really the longevity type. They're just in it for the moment. What are you looking for? What are you desiring? Whatever it is you desire, you're not going to find it here. My mom used to think, have a thing, a want tour. You know what a want tour is? Okay, maybe it's just in Arkansas. This is what I want. This is my want tour. But mom, I want it. Well, you're going to have to change your want tour. Okay. I don't know what that means, mom. She explained it. You have to change what you want from me. Because you are not going to get that. You are not going to get that. You are not going to get that. When we ask of God these things and we don't get it, maybe it's because we've asked the wrong things, that we might consume it upon our own lusts and destroy ourselves. And that, man, we got to just change our want to her. Change the things that God wants us to have, that this is what I want, God. I want the things that you want me to have. Paul, about that thorn in the flesh. God, I want it gone, please. Nope, Paul. Paul says, okay, I'm going to change my want to her. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to use it. So that way I can teach others, even to this day, that thorn in the flesh kept me from sinning. Kept me from being a jerk. And I praise God for it. Wow. That's interesting. Our want to has got to change. We've got to look for it. Okay, so I'm going to end there. Next week we'll go to verse 16, but yeah, verse 15. Think about that. What are the things I desire, and do they supersede the things of God? There's a song. There's nothing between my Lord and my Savior. Look at these things. Are there something between you and God? Oh, I got a fishing boat. Look at that. No, I avoided going to the fishing show this year, or to the boat show this year. I did for that purpose. Because last time I was at that thing, about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we both looked, and oh, there's a nice little boat trailer setup. It's, oh, it's got to fit, it's got all this stuff. Oh, honey, look, we can afford that payment. Well, if we take care of this and this, we can afford that payment. It's like we fought and had a turmoil. Okay, you can think less of me. I really don't care. We had a turmoil about that fishing boat. We can afford that. We can make the payment. They didn't require a down, zero down. Yeah, we could. I could back up and we could take it home today. No. This is not wise. We discussed it within ourselves. And so we avoided the boat show this year. For that very reason. There are other things that are worth more. The things of God. The things that have to do with God rather than self. All right. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for